name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So today we celebrate the bright and glorious feast of the transfiguration of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. When Peter, James, and John ascended Mount Tabor, and the glory of the Lord was revealed as the countenance of our Lord Jesus Christ changed. We see St. Peter, our beloved patron. I get tickled at some of the things he does. I don't know if this is supposed to be funny or not, but he seemed to have been pretty impetuous. And exposed to the glory of God, the Lord's face, as he's praying, is transfigured. He changes. And there's this uncreated light. It was not natural light. It was the uncreated light. And St. Peter's first response was, you know, I can build a booth here for you and for... And also Elijah and Moses appeared, you know, with the Lord at that time. And he meant well. He meant well. But the Lord, you know, God comes to him and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Be quiet and listen. Listen to him. There's a lesson in that for sure to us. We need to spend more time listening for God's voice rather than assigning something to God that he's never really said to begin with. So what does this word transfigure mean? It means that the uncreated energies of God were made visible, even in his body. We know that man is a unity of body, soul, and spirit. And so this, as he was praying, he became radiant. you see then that prayer is that medium that brings us into contact with God. And when we enter into that, that is the doorway to us participating in the life of God. Conversely, when we are slothful and basically lazy, and sloth is considered a sin in relation to, you know, the spiritual life, then when we are slothful and lazy, we drift away from God. We feel far from Him. And that sense of the heavenly, of the glory of God, seems just inaccessible to us. but we see that as he prayed, his countenance changed. And we see this, and we've talked about this many times before, the presence of Elijah and Moses representing the prophets and the law, that Christ fulfilled all of that. There was nothing that he did not fulfill. And but what he wants for you and for me is to bring us up. To bring us up. To bring us up to him. Not to allow us to continue to dwell in terms of our affections, in terms of the things that we seek after in this world that has fallen. He calls us upward. But to experience that, we do have to put forth an effort. Peter, James, and John had to ascend that mountain, Mount Tabor. They had to go up. They had to work, as it were, to stand in the presence of God, to experience the glory of God. And that's true for you and for me. And really, in one way, you would have to say it's that simple. The spiritual life is an ongoing reality. It's not something we just kind of stick our toe into every once in a while. We are called to live our lives in continuity with communion with God. So as we celebrate this great feast today, this feast of the transfiguration of our Lord, Let us renew within ourselves, kindle afresh within ourselves the desire to be close to God and recommit ourselves to this life of prayer to which all of us are called. Sometimes we're tempted to think that our prayers are just not answered, or they're you know, meaningless or to no avail. Nothing could be further from the truth. Our Lord loves us. He died for us. He is very near. And sometimes our faith seems so puny. What little faith we have, exercise it, whatever it is. He will meet you where you are. He will meet us where we are. And He does, over and over and over, always with the intent to raise us up, to bring us up to His glory, and to bring to deliver us from the darkness, the death, the hopelessness of this world. May God give us grace to pursue that with all of our hearts. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.